Good evening and welcome to worship tonight, and I thank you for your presence here. We'll hear the gospel lesson that reminds us to cultivate realness in each of our lives and the temptation to hide by external appearance. And Jesus calls us to bear good fruit that is real. So we'll listen deeply for what that might mean for each of us. Let us ask the Holy Spirit to bless us tonight in worship.
Staying in the place of quiet, let us listen with the ear of the heart for God's word. The first reading is taken from Genesis chapter 15. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. I will make your reward very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what good will your gifts be if I keep on being childless and have as my heir the steward of my house, Eliezer? Abram continued, See, you have given me no offspring, and so one of my servants will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, No, that one shall not be your heir. Your own issue shall be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if you can. Just so, he added, shall be your descendants. Abram put his faith in the Lord, who credited it to him as an act of righteousness. He then said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans, to give you this land as a possession. O Lord God, he asked, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He answered him, Bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old she-goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Abram brought him all these, split them in two, and placed each half opposite the other. But the birds he did not cut up. Birds of prey swooped down on the carcasses, but Abram stayed with them. As the sun was about to set, a trance fell upon Abram, and a deep, terrifying darkness enveloped him. When the sun had set and it was dark, there appeared a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch, which passed between those pieces. It was on that occasion that the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, To your descendants I give this land, from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates. The word of the Lord. The second reading is taken from Psalm 105. Give thanks to the Lord, invoke his name. Make known among the nations his deeds. Sing to him, sing his praise. Proclaim all his wondrous deeds. Glory in his holy name. Rejoice, O hearts that seek the Lord. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek to serve him constantly. You descendants of Abraham, his servants, sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. He, the Lord, is our God. Throughout the earth, his judgments prevail. He remembers forever his covenant, which he made binding for 1,000 generations, which he entered into with Abraham and by his oath to Isaac. The word of the Lord. The gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said to his disciples, Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but underneath are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will know them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Just so, every good tree bears good fruit, and a rotten tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a rotten tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So by their fruits you will know them. The Gospel of our Lord and Savior.
This is a continuation of the homework to grow in goodness from Sunday. And we'll start out with a couple analogies to help us connect with the gospel lesson tonight. You've heard the phrase, "Don't peter out." I've never liked that phrase. It comes from Peter the Apostle, who said that he would never leave or forsake the Lord, and then he denies him three times. And so that's where this cultural euphemism comes from. Don't peter out. Don't be like the Apostle Peter, who said one thing and did another. A similar analogy is, have you ever been to a dinner party or social gathering with people that are outside or above your perceived class? Maybe there was a movie star, or maybe there was a politician, or maybe there was a tycoon. And your best friend was there as well, or a very close friend. And can you feel into what it would feel like to be interacting with a total stranger who is supposedly superior to you in social status? And can you feel into the level of anxiety and perhaps the falseness of the pretense you might put on to impress or feel comfortable in this person's presence? Perhaps you've never experienced anything like that. And then contrast that to the comfort and ease you would feel by going to the side of the room and standing next to your best friend. And you could be like, "Oh my gosh, I was just talking to that so-and-so." Just feel into the difference of that for a moment. And it's a very basic example of the distinction between the external and the internal, and how oftentimes in the social frame of things, in our relating to one another, we present a degree of falseness. We present a degree of accommodation. And there might be a great deal of discomfort within as we are doing that, but we're just getting by. And then there is this inner sense of peace or retreat when we come back into ourselves and we feel at ease. I was learning this in a little practice with my acupuncturist this week. And we did a little practice where I closed my eyes and then opened them and looked into his eyes. And the exercise was to notice the sensation and the feeling that I had in doing that. And the first time I did it, I opened my eyes really fast and closed them again really quickly, because there was a level of discomfort. We were looking right at each other, and I don't know him very well. The second time I did it, I opened my eyes more slowly and looked at his eyes for a longer period of time. And then a big smile came across my face, because I realized that we were connecting. And something in me was both delighted by that and discomforted by that. And I went back into my closed eyes. You perhaps have had children or grandchildren who have played hide and seek. And when you're a certain age, if you can't see it, it's not there. It's like a dogs hide under a table and they think that we can't see them. They don't know that we can see them. But so there is this dynamic, by way of analogy, that I think we all can understand, that there is an inner safety and an external falseness that sometimes human beings play into. And the gospel lesson that Jesus is sharing is really an invitation for integration. an invitation to integration. Now, this gospel passage has been used in a very divisive way to say these people are out and these people are in. And we don't want to go down that rabbit trail. We want to look for that inner dimension of integration that invites each of us to recognize that there is this place in us that is being transformed from one degree of realness to the next degree of realness, to the place where we can become more real and authentic with ourselves and with the world. And that boundary between where we are afraid of being real and authentic is our growth edge. And it causes us courage and fear, anxiety and freedom. But that growth edge is truly where we are discovering that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Whether it's some famous person or some tragic event or whatever your senses might perceive, there is an opportunity for us to create a corresponding connection between our inner stability and external reality. And if you can master that edge, and it no longer becomes an edge, it's seamless integration, we become people who then walk on the waters of life in the work terms, that we're held above day-to-day life and the experiences of our sensations of what we're perceiving to be a frightening thing, an anxious thing, a desirous thing, a pleasurable thing, and we simply move into this place of integration and recognize that we're okay, that I am okay no matter what is happening. Now, this is real freedom, and of course, we're all working on this. And the work terms, the sheep and the wolf's clothing, you might think of that in terms of essence as being the sheep, and the wolf's clothing as being that personality that hides the essence or that pretends that it's the essence, but it really isn't. And there isn't a sense of the wolf is bad and the sheep is good. There's a sense of the wolf has yet to discover what it really means to be a wolf sheep, to be integrated, to be one. Because the truth is we need that exterior shell. We need it in our development and our growth. We don't come here as unexposed beings. We need that shell of personality to protect us from life's influences. We need the ego to protect us from ultimately not developing at all in life. So we don't want to make bad the wolf aspect. We don't want to make bad the wolf aspect that is needing to pretend or needing to play or needing to act, to be sly, to be wise. We want to integrate the wolf aspect with the sheep aspect and to know, to be aware where we are in ourselves. For example, in this moment, I can feel in. I can feel the exterior, my presentation, my interaction with each of you, and I can feel my inner life being held. I'm safe. I'm okay, no matter what you're thinking or not thinking, no matter who's falling asleep or who's awake, no matter anything, no matter what I think about what I'm saying, I can feel the okayness at the same time as I can feel my interacted relatedness. This is a practice for all of us to cultivate, and to the point where perhaps there isn't a difference between our inner and outer worlds. There's a correspondence, there's an integration. The final thing about this passage that really connects with our homework for this week from Sunday about growing in goodness is the invitation that we don't want to judge people or ourselves, but we can discern by way of the way the tree produces a fruit. We know a tree by its fruit. And the invitation is to recognize in ourselves the parts of us that bear good fruit and the parts of us that don't bear good fruit. It's the word bad, but that conveys a moral aspect of it. But it really means that it hasn't come to its fruition. In other words, it's just a seed that really didn't sprout or develop. It didn't come to its completion. So the bad stuff in us is just our incomplete stuff, this place where we're still growing, still possibility of evolution and development. And the good has come to its natural and beautiful fulfillment or completion. And I suspect that each of us have aspects in our lives, parts of our personality that are more complete and other parts that are less complete. And the integration of the two is one of self-acceptance and self-love, ultimately, of recognizing that we can only be where we're at, and we're okay. Everything is okay. And I'm still growing. And there's this beautiful fruit that is being produced as evidence of my growth, such as increasing in patience, increasing in kindness, increasing in self-control, not vomiting up negative emotions, not being undisciplined with my thoughts, not saying whatever comes to my mind. All of these are ways in which we can see, oh, the fruit of my growth is self-evident to me and others in my life. And in the same way, where our goodness isn't as full or mature or manifesting as clearly, we have the opportunity to see, it's not that I'm bad because of this, it's that I am yet complete. And so, there you have it, a little reinterpretation of this very famous passage of Jesus. And it's an opportunity for all of us to harmonize the parts of ourself that we're very comfortable with and grow into the parts of ourself that have yet to mature or fully come to their fullness of possibility. And for each of us, that's going to be different. And the ideas of the work and the grace of silent meditation begins to do so much of this for us. Just one final comment on the mystical experience that Abram has. The only thing I really feel led to say about this is that here we see the root of Christianity, the very root of Christianity. And this is the thing that really speaks to me. The root of Christianity through Judaism comes from a man who looked up to the sky, looked up to the stars, and had faith. And so we can really begin to feel into this mystery of the inner and the outer, and how looking up is a way for us to say, I want to grow. I want to become more than just a life person. I want to become good fruit. I want to grow in goodness. I want to be fed from the influences from above. And in his life, in Abram's life, that act of looking up to the stars opened him to this mystical experience of a new influence, which was set in his cultural context in that description that Dami read about the sacrifices. So they understood that way. But the point is that his looking up to the heavens was inspired from faith, and it led to a mystical experience, an encounter that was uniquely fit for his particular fears, not having an heir, and his particular opportunity. You're going to be the source of multitudes of generations. So it addresses our fears and addresses our possibilities. You couldn't ask for a more gracious description of what life is for, to dissolve our fears and to expand in love and presence. And it's something I'm working on in very, very practical ways in my own life, of being less anxious and more present right in my body. And perhaps there's a way in which you know you're growing in goodness and integrating more the sheep and the wolf. Amen. In every way, and receive joyfully likewise. And may the power of the Holy Spirit strengthen each of us with the courage to keep moving toward this integration and development into realness, capital R, realness. Amen.